Welcome to Indiana On Tap. I am your host, Matthew Muncy. Unfortunately, Dustin is not here today.
Or fortunately.
Or fortunately, yeah, depending on who you ask. Due to his antics on episode 7, we had to let him go. And so now he's down in Tennessee. So we'll see if he ever comes back. I don't know. Maybe if he apologizes for puking in my car, we'll let him back on the show.
If I remember correctly, he didn't puke in your car. On the outside of your car.
It was both.
Was it?
It was splashback.
Did he clean the
splashback?
No, he didn't clean anything. I dropped him off and headed home because I was like,
Then he's done with the show.
Yeah, so he might not be here anymore. So to replace him, we brought in Sean Manahan, Copacetic Beer Factory.
The Beer Factory.
All right. So he's going to replace Dustin today. And then I think next week we have Val coming in from Flat 12 to replace Dustin. So this will be pretty fun.
Well, this got awkward really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right.
We got Val coming in from Flat 12. Oh, shit.
You know what? I thought it when I said it too, but that's okay. Keep going. And so Bottoms Up Machine is down. Brad broke that.
Yes,
so
I did.
So no Ivory Stout today, but Sean brought a lot of beer. So Sean, what are we drinking to start the show?
Well, I brought the Prime IPA. It's rye IPA that I collabed with Wabash Brewing. I think it first came out, I remember the date was Prime, so it was first part of November. And they've made it a few times. This is either the third or fourth batch, but I was close, was in the area, had to swing by and grab it.
It's really good. I really like it. I remember when that launched, headed over there after work, and everybody showed up, like from the Indiana beer community. It was kind of cool to see all the different brewers and stuff kind of show up to, you know, it was your first big kind of release from with the Copacetic name. So that's cool. I really like this beer. I don't know if it's the rye in it, but there's just something that's very subtle with the IPA. Like, it's not super hoppy. It's not super bitter.
Yeah, I mean,
something that seems to tone it down.
In the goal of the design, you know, Prime, I have a very love-hate relationship with Prime numbers. And I've always talked about opening, you know, a small brew pub where you could do something utilizing Prime numbers. So this recipe, all the grain weights, the hop weights, the alphas, everything came out to be Prime. And in doing so, it turned out, like I said, pretty well balanced. It's not overly hoppy. It's not bitter on the back. I like the rye spice. It was fun from a design standpoint, and that's my favorite part of brewing is the design and kind of coming up with it. And it turned out fantastic. They did a really good job.
Well, I want to let everyone know that the podcast is sponsored by the Indiana On Tap Tasting Society Marketplace, which is Indiana's premier craft beer membership and rewards program. So you can get this for $59.95 a year. You will receive 165 plus offers within the Indiana On Tap mobile app, and that's good towards over $900 of free and discounted flights, growler fills, pints, food, glassware, t-shirts, bottles of liquor, you name it. It's all on there from over 105 different breweries and other participating locations, which is Hotel Tango's in there, Hopcat's in there, so it's not just beer or anything like that. Our listeners can use the promo code PODCAST and receive $10 off their membership. Just go ahead and visit www.tastingsocietymarketplace.com to learn more and sign up. And speaking of that, Sean was telling me before the show, you're looking to join the Tasting Society Marketplace?
Yeah, got the paperwork in the car. I've been a big fan of IOT for a long time. I've had this shirt specifically for at least 4 years.
I was going to say, I've never seen that shirt. So
it's OG.
Yeah, that's
I had to wear it today. But yeah, we'll do that. So yeah, add me to the list. We're doing discounted flights, like I said, Indiana Pints, Indiana Spirits, wine, discounts on a whole bunch. It's going to be a lot of fun to partner with Indiana On Tap.
So look for that and make sure you sign up so that way you can get the Copacetic Beer Factory deals as part of your membership. A couple other things to note, Jockey Box Hero, which Indiana On Tap is putting on August 12th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Hatch in Broad Ripple. Those tickets are on sale. It is a live band karaoke competition, which is going to be held on a large state-of-the-art outdoor stage and feature 12 contestants, each singing their lives to advance to the final round. You going to be in this?
I'm not going to be doing that, unfortunately.
That would be awesome.
Sounds fun.
Each contestant's performance will be judged by our panel of local celebrity judges. I'm really curious to see who the celebrities are, because I was not invited. And by the end of the event, Indianapolis's first Jockey Box hero will be crowned. You can get tickets online, and we'll throw those up in the show notes for everyone. And last but not least, Meadful Things and Outsiders. So this is an event that New Day Craft puts on. It'll be the second year down at the Circle City Industrial Complex. It's all cider. It's all mead. It's simply fantastic. I went last year. It was a lot of fun. I might be one of the drunker events that I've been to outside of Winterfest, simply because you're drinking mead and cider all day. It tastes so good, and by the time you're done, you just don't realize how much you had to drink.
Yeah, and they're a little heavy. They're a little deceiving.
Some of those are really potent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can purchase tickets. They do not do day of sale tickets. So you're going to have to make sure that you buy those before you go. And that event is September 2nd from 2 to 6. And we'll throw that one up in the show notes as well. So with all that out of the way, let's get into the meat of the show. Some Indiana news. Our friend of the podcast, Simon O'Keefe, is leaving us.
I heard that.
Right? Such a bummer. But
and it's a haul. He's only getting out of town.
It's not like he's just moving to another brewery or moving to another state. He's going across the country to Croatia. So Mark Lansbury.
A little further out of the country.
Yeah, a little bit further. Did I miss that?
Believe it or not, I was actually going to let that one slide.
Yeah.
But
I don't remember what I said. So Mark Lansbury did a write-up on this about Simon's decision. Simon started with Evil Check back in 2014. And so now 3 years later, he found out from a friend of a friend that someone over in Croatia was opening up, sounds like an Americanized brewery.
Nice.
And so he hopped on board to go try it out. And I know he's from Ireland. So probably going back to...
I was going to say, he didn't give this to us as an exclusive. I mean, come on. He could have broken this like 5 times on the podcast now.
He could have. True. Now, he did tell me before the June 4th, when we were supposed to initially record this, he told me, but then like 3 days later, Mark put up the piece. So I knew about it, but there was no podcast for me to actually talk about it.
That'd be my fault.
Maybe. But
you know, well, Mark's quick. Mark gets him out pretty quick. He's dynamite.
He is. I don't understand how that dude writes as much as he does. And all of his articles are like 1,000, 1,500 words.
Yeah.
I'm just like, holy crap.
They're a good solid over the course of a couple bathroom break reads.
Yeah. It's going to take you a while. So Simon's going to go work for Positive Brewing. They're going to be in IPA heaven with a side trip through sours. And he's heading out of town in July. So for us, that sucks because it sounds like Evil Check really made a leap in the beer world ever since he came on board. I know a lot of the beers were already there when he got there, but they started distributing more throughout the state and even out of state, and it sounds like their production increased every year. Have you got to meet Simon?
I've met Simon a few times at events. You know, they're basically family reunions. You know, same as Corey. I end up talking with Corey on social media a ton.
I think everybody
but
does.
You know, just kind of see him in passing at these events. So not close with Simon, but
not close.
But it is great to hear, you know, kind of from my stance, is you see these breweries that are focused on English style stuff, or bars that are focused on English style stuff, German stuff, Belgian stuff. It's really incredible to hear as a member of the industry that now you have places in Croatia doing American style beers. It's really impressive.
You would never have heard that 10 years ago,
no.
15 years ago. They always thought our beer was piss water.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that. So it is definitely nice to see, nice to hear.
Yeah, you have these like Americanized styles. Every style has an American version, kind of significantly different. Normally it's a little stronger, a little hoppier across the board.
Right.
So now having these styles, to see those styles migrating over the world, across the world, is pretty neat.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of follow that along however best we can over here to see how it works out and stuff like that. He's definitely got the background to pull it off. And it sounds like, if I read the article right, the owners of Positive Brewing have backgrounds in like hop and beer importing or wheat importing, something like that. So like apparently he's going to have no issue basically getting whatever he wants. So kind of cool that he'll be able to almost experiment, because he can make a bad beer technically, and is anybody really going to know?
Right.
You know?
I wonder, though, you know, you look at a lot of the ingredients that we have in the States doing these American-style beers, a lot of the hops from, you know, Yakima region that make these styles American. I wonder, it'd be interesting to see if he can get, you know, Citra. Mm. A lot of people in the States have a difficult time getting Citra, Amarillo, you know, even Cascade, which is an American as hop as it gets, probably more acres than anything. Sometimes it's kind of hard to get, so I wonder what the hop supply is like in Croatia.
May have to try and Skype him in sometime.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah.
See how it's going.
Be our first Skype 4 a.m. and yeah. Skype him in.
Yeah.
Make it what happen. Is, I was going to say, I don't even know what keys. Croatia's time difference is. But what, it's at least 8 hours, right?
Probably.
It's a big body of water in between.
Yeah,
I don't know where Croatia is on the map, so I don't know.
Well, if this is the world, it's here.
That's about right.
Yeah. You know.
I mean, I can't argue with it, because...
Trust me on it.
Eastern Europe, let's put it that way, okay?
That's what I assumed. But I don't know... Like, I just don't know where. Like, what's it next to? What's it above, under? I don't know.
All right. You gotta work by on the that. It's probably what? By the Ukraine? By the Belgium?
Well, it's on the Mediterranean, right? And it's... So there's nothing below it.
Okay.
But then I'm making fun of them, but I can't exactly tell you what's next to it.
Yeah. I don't know exactly.
I know the region. I know the region that it's at.
It's by Russia, maybe? Over there?
It's closer to Russia than we are.
Very true that. Statement. Unless you're in Alaska, then it might be closer. No.
That's true.
You can see it from your house. Well, hopefully Simon does good things over there, and maybe we can get him to send us some of his beer that he brews. I don't know if that's legal or possible.
No, just have him. Here's what you do. You put it in a box and you label it Snow Globes.
Yeah.
Ship the Snow Globes.
That's
got Snow Globes coming from Croatia.
That's genius. Because then if they hear whooshing, they're just like, oh, it's just Snow Globes.
Yeah, you can't ship liquid.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Alan Kuhn.
But you can ship a Snow Globe which contains liquid.
Yes.
It's actually further away from Russia than you'd think. It's closer to Italy.
Oh, okay.
It's right next to Slovenia and Bosnia, close to Hungary and Austria.
Okay. So
it's amazing what Google Maps can do.
All right. There we go.
Now that we've brought this to a halt, trying to figure out where Croatia is.
Well, now everyone knows. Now you got a geography lesson inside of your beer
show. And it's the Adriatic Sea is where it's.
Oh, okay. Okay. I knew there was water involved.
Right.
Well, on from him, a little bit further south from Mishawaka, Kokomo, the 10-man location.
And my hometown.
Just brewed their first couple exclusive beers at that location. So they did a golden ale, which they called First Brew, right on the nose with that one.
Good name.
And the article I read was posted back on May 28th, and so I'm assuming since then they've added about two or three more. Just based on what the article was talking about. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's last name, so don't hate me, Jack. But the Kokomo brewer, Jack Ceramic, we're going to go with that.
Sounds like a last name.
Yeah, he was the brewer, I believe, down in Evansville for Tin Man.
Okay.
Then I think he left and went to Two Hands and then came back to Kokomo. So now he's brewing there, and he's getting to do a lot of exclusive small batch beers. And then the Evansville location I found out is actually no longer up for sale. It's like under contract. I don't know what that means in legalese, but it sounds like they're still going to be brewing their house beers there. So then he doesn't have to do a lot of that at the Kokomo location. So to me, that's really interesting that I don't know what the Evansville location is going to be doing on the side of beer exclusives or anything for people down there.
Mm-hmm. Well, was it basically just the tasting room and the restaurant that was killing them and not the actual brew side?
Then they put themselves up for sale.
Well, I understand that. But I mean, if you've got a name and you're kind of struggling a little bit and you've especially had to lop off that kind of lopsided, money suck, I guess, then putting yourself up for sale sounds like a smart idea. Yep. But if you're still recovering and things look like they're going up, then you don't have to, unless under contract means that they're under contract, meaning the sale is imminent, has already happened.
Oh, maybe.
So that's what the that way means. That I had kind of interpreted it, and I might be wrong in talking with some people, was they kind of were selling everything as is, if you will. So the brand, the brands within their brand, their, you know, Weld is great. I have that on the bar all the time. So all their specific brands in right. production. So maybe that's kind of what that contract is. I guess, I don't know. Somebody just went ahead and bought it. So it does remain Tin Man. They still make Weld, and I don't think they make Circuit anymore. Rivet, Overlord, they're still making the same stuff under the same brand. Just maybe there's new money in there.
Right.
I don't know. But as having now the bar, it's interesting to see it from the other side. I've been in production for so long, and now I'm seeing it from the other side. And I get to have pretty cool relationship with the distributors and with the manufacturers themselves, and a lot of the manufacturers are friends of mine, and I've heard nothing from that side of a bad future for Tin Man.
Right.
You know, still bringing it in, still fresh.
I was going to say, because everything that I'd always seen, it was always kind of that restaurant tasting room that was kind of bringing them down.
Mm-hmm.
And to be quite honest, a lot of times people don't realize that restaurants have a high failure rate. And even though the breweries right now still haven't hit that kind of tipping point where they're starting to fail more often than not, it seems like the brewery side is still a very, you know, it's not a given that you're going to make money, because we just saw a few more closings this past month. But overall, they're still staying open more than the restaurant side. The restaurant sides are closing left and right. In all the restaurant industry, not just. It's a very high risk piece to be in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to start a brewery, stick with brewing first.
Yep.
Maybe ease into it. You're not going to be Big Woods tomorrow. That just doesn't happen. Yeah.
Very good. Very good example for that.
I just think it's, for me, it's interesting that you're going to have, and I know that the Kokomo location is separately owned. So it's, and they just kind of bought the license to use the name, if you will. But it's interesting that they're going to have different beer that you can't get down in Evansville, that you can't. There's something about that that just somewhat rubs me the wrong way, because to me it would be like if
they're not the first to do that, though.
Yeah, so I mean,
Sunspace got a few different places that you can get stuff in their north location that you can't get, you know, in the downtown location. So it's not like this is new. It's not like it's...
No, I don't know. There's just... But even then, it's still sometimes weird. Like, because if you lived in Evansville and now you're hearing about all this awesome stuff that Kokomo is going to get, like, you're not going to... You know, more than likely, you're not getting any of that. So... As like a fan of Tin Man, that's gotta suck. I haven't really seen that on my end, where a place that I normally go has another location that I can't get anything because it's region locked or something.
Yeah, maybe I think it might be the space between, right? Evansville and Kokomo, that's a long space.
It is.
You look at, that's a good example. That's what I was thinking was Sun King. You can get stuff up in Fishers, you can't get downtown. Or
but you're right. It's a 20-minute drive between the two, as opposed to a four-hour drive. And I used to have to make that because I was in school in Evansville for college, so that 4-hour drive. Man, every time I started hearing X103, I was like, oh, thank God, I'm close, almost home,
almost there. Well, you know, Chris Johnson there at Peoples he's got a new spot in Lebanon, and they're working through the final parts, putting in a small system there, and I think the plan, they'll probably have some of the Lebanon stuff on in Lafayette, would be my guess, but to have beers made specifically there.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, I think it's part of making sure that you're taking care of the locals.
Yeah.
Is that there's a lot of beer that's made in Lafayette, and that beer, in people's example anyway, it's available all over Lafayette. It's available all over the surrounding area. You get to Lebanon, I think it's important for him to have that local feel and drive. You know, this beer is made here in Lebanon, and we ship it to Lafayette. And have those, you're running two different bars. You need two different local crowds.
And the funny thing is, it's kind of the same example on a different scale. Evansville is, what, the third largest city in Indiana? Fourth?
Sure,
we'll go something like that.
Yeah.
And then you've got Kokomo, which is, you know, a 50,000-person city. You've got Lafayette, which is like 60,000, going to Lebanon, which is, what, 20, 30,000, something like that? So, I mean, it
kind of gives... Rick Mount, that's all
it really matters. It gives the smaller town something to actually say, hey, we got our own, and it's our own brew.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. There's just, to me, there's something weird about
if that. You're a beer lover, you'll find it. I mean, you drove all the way up to the Northwest or Northeast, Northwest just recently on a beer trip. Stopped at several different places. Hence the reason Dustin's not here today.
Yeah.
So it's a thing, you know? I mean, people will drive to Kokomo or Lebanon just to get that beer if they're really that in tune and they're really that upset about it. I'm sure Evansville people will go through Indy, get to Kokomo, come back, hang out in Indy, drive a few breweries there. It'll be fine.
True.
I think even on a bigger scale, now kind of think about it, a friend of mine, we call him Couch. he recently started working at Sierra Nevada in Carolina.
Right.
And he came back home the other day and we were talking and he said that at their location, even on the grand scheme of things, and it's more of a production model, I'm sure, they only make certain beers there that they do not make in California. Now they do have all the beers available, but, you know, it's kind of like, I guess, maybe it's cars, you know, certain cars are made in different towns, and different models. You just get to take pride in those specific beers knowing they're made there.
True.
So you lose, Matt. That's you lose.
Yeah.
Your argument is invalid.
That's all right.
Air five.
that usually happens with me, so.
One of these days, he's going to show up with an AK-47 to this group. That's overkill, by the way. You don't really need that. You could just have like a handgun, and there's three of us, so it's fine. But
10 rounds per person. Yeah.
No, I'm used to it, so you're good. You're good. For now. This one I'm interested to talk about just because I kind of want to get your perspective of it. So Central State issued a recall of their can Gutnacht, I think is how you say it. Because apparently some of them were exploding in the cans due to being left, you know, stored in warm areas and stuff like that. And there was a secondary fermentation going on. It's not the first time this has happened to an Indiana brewery. I think it was Brewlink. If it wasn't you, I'm super sorry. But I'm pretty sure I remember their Ivory Stout like 2 years ago did this because people were not storing it properly. And then they were like, why is it exploding?
Should I be worried?
What do you mean?
Don't we have the Ivory Stout in the cooler
right now? It wasn't kegs.
Okay.
So I think we're fine.
No.
No, it was just the cans that people like.
That'd make one hell of a story.
A lot of it was happening at liquor stores.
Right. Like
they just weren't. They were putting them on the shelves and then they were exploding. So they issued this recall and just saying, hey, if you bought some, bring them back in if you still have them and we'll swap them out. So. My question, because this is pretty harmless, you know, there doesn't hurt anyone. If it explodes, it explodes. You go get some other beers. Some people are going to, you know, make it out to be worse than what it really is, but it's not really that big of a deal. At least they're taking a step to make it right, and then now they kind of know to warn people, you know, going forward, like, hey, you should probably store our beers properly, whether a liquor store or just someone buying it off the shelves. Have you ever had to recall a beer as a brewer?
Let's see. There was, maybe a few times there have been kind of small recalls. And a lot of those times we found them, as far as me being concerned, we found them pretty quickly so that they never really left the building, if you will. You know, we had a batch of cans where the seamer wasn't working correctly and they just weren't sealing. You just squish it and the beer would come out, you know, kind of. That was a recall. I think we sent a couple cases to the distributor and we had some kegs that did not meet the staff's QA QC kind of protocol. But again, it's one of those things, you get into this level of brewing, kind of like what they're doing now at Central State or some of the other places I've worked, a lot of times you want to make sure you're on top of QA QC, but you got the truck showing up in 2 hours. You got 30 kegs to fill, get them on there. And then we would find it. I think this one time in particular, we found it maybe the next day, called the distributor and said, that whole 30 kegs, bring it back. We got a different 30 kegs. So yeah, a part of it and it sucks.
And it sounds like this usually only happens with the canned versions, not bottles. Because a lot of people throw stuff in their cellar that still has fermentation going on. So unless there's something different here that I don't know about because I'm not a brewer.
Sure.
Maybe there's something different that they're doing with this beer that's not being done with, you know, any other beer that naturally ferments while you're still aging it, and then that's why a lot of people age the beers?
Well, you know, the aging process typically is more of a conditioning and kind of maturing phase, almost like marinating a steak.
Okay.
Right? Like, you can marinate meat in 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever, kind of quick do it, or you can do it for 24 hours. After 24 hours, you get more of a homogeneous flavor. So ideally, there is no fermentation in the final package.
Okay.
You know, I think what Josh and Chris and Jake did at Central State is really not above and beyond, but unfortunately, kind of how things work. It is above and beyond for a brewer to do that. Do this big, massive recall, say to come back, admit to that mistake. They know exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, kind of this condition maturing. It's not really fermentation. What they saw happening was continued fermentation in the can. In the canning process, introduces a little bit of oxygen. Most craft beers, and I think Indiana City even put something out on Facebook or whatever this week, said all of our beers are unfiltered. Yeah, because you do strip out some flavor with that. So a lot of these beers are unfiltered. We're relying on natural processes to get the yeast out. And if you end up with a beer that is not at what we call terminal gravity, the point where the yeast no longer has any sugar to consume, if you put that into a package, more specifically bottles and cans, you're adding a little bit of oxygen. That's how you start fermentation. A little bit of oxygen, a little bit of sugar, and a little bit of yeast. And over time, stored warm, you will get fermentation, which increases the pressure. And I've seen it in bottles. I've been a part of correcting bottles and seeing bottles be in a situation like that. I've seen it in cans from multiple breweries around the state. It happens when people are growing. And, you know, the guys at Central State, they changed distributors. So I had them at the grand opening. I finally got them back. Fantastic beer. Keeping up with that demand often plays your hand, right? And so you find yourself not being able to get the beer to terminal. Mm-hmm. And something like a beer like Gutenacht, fantastic stout, unbelievable beer. You get something like that happen.
Yeah. I mean, it shit happens. I mean, it happens to everyone. I'm sure, you know, Anheuser-Busch has had a recall before on something. Mm-hmm. Sierra Nevada had one just last year, I think it was.
They just
Yeah, it was right when Couch started there.
Yeah.
it was like 2 weeks after he started.
Pays extra to make sure nobody knows about it, though.
That's true.
Because probably. They've got the money.
Yeah. So they said the recall is only limited to the regular cans, not the barrel-aged version. So if you got those, take them down to the coal ship, and they'll swap them out.
You know, and that's even another point that I think facilitates what we're talking about and kind of getting it into package pretty quickly. The barrel-aged version sat.
Yeah.
Exposed to oxygen, you know, for a brief amount of time, has still the yeast in there. And they use a very creative yeast, very interesting yeast. So at that point, they definitely hit that terminal gravity. So when they go to package, there is no more fermentable sugar. Even if there's yeast and there's oxygen involved, there's no more fermentable sugar. So that makes sense.
And the final, at least local news one that we got today, Switchyard Brewing has finally found a location. I know they've been looking for a little over a year now down in Bloomington. They announced plans for a new brew pub in downtown Bloomington. They signed a long-term lease for the former Jake's nightclub building. And along with the property owner, they are going to invest nearly $1 million to renovate the space. In addition to the food and craft beer options, this is kind of what I find unique. The brew pub is also going to serve as a co-working space. So it almost sounds like they're making a brew pub, and then like half of it is going to be similar to like what the Hatch is or the Speakeasy.
Sounds like the Speakeasy.
Yeah, so that's what it sounds like.
But even better, I mean, the Speakeasy has beer there. This is a brewery.
Yeah.
Right.
And a workplace.
And typically those workplaces, you're kind of self-employed, right?
Yeah.
So like, so you determine if you drink on the job or not. That's pretty nice.
So that's kind of cool.
It's almost like working here and having, I don't know, a bottoms-up beer system right in your office.
Yeah. Imagine working in a brewery.
Imagine working at Bottoms Up and can't drink any beer.
I thought Josh stopped that a long time ago.
Yeah.
When nothing was getting done, he was like, maybe we shouldn't drink yet.
Yeah, what's the common denominator here?
Switchyard says demolition will begin immediately and the brew pub is expected to be open in December. I had their beer last summer at some festival I went to downtown, and it was pretty good. And even then, they were still trying to figure out what they were going to do. So they were still a home brewer, so they couldn't sell anything. And I know they did a Kickstarter to try and get going, and they made like nearly $50,000 doing that. And I think the first place they found fell through. Have you had their stuff?
I have not.
No. Well, I guess that's the end of that story. But I
look forward to getting them licensed so I can get them on.
Yeah, right. And it'll be cool because I don't know if Bloomington. I know of Upland, obviously, but I don't know where it is in Bloomington because I don't know anything about Bloomington. So being downtown sounds like a really good spot, just because I assume that's where all the IU kids go.
Right,
Bloomington. Being up north, my dad went to Purdue. I went to Purdue. Definitely stay in West Lafayette. Sorry. I love West Lafayette.
This podcast just keeps getting worse and worse. I used to have two IU people on here. Now I've got Kentucky and IU. And then when we replaced Kentucky, I got Purdue and Purdue. Kentucky and Purdue. But you know what I mean.
But I went on a couple sales trips down to Bloomington, I had some family down in Bloomington. And it's surprisingly large.
Yeah.
I had no idea how big it was. So yeah, being downtown Bloomington is probably pretty nice.
It sucks driving around downtown Bloomington.
But the difference is, I mean, in any college town, do you basically, and I know this kind of permeates throughout bars anyway, summer traffic is poor. It just is, because people are going on vacation, they're out, in their backyard, barbecuing. So do college towns like almost 20 times what like downtown Indianapolis does? Because downtown Indianapolis like dries up, and so does Broad Ripple. But a college town seems to me that it would really dry up because most of the people have gone. Like, they're not there. They won't be back until August again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I feel like a college town like Bloomington or even West Lafayette, there's enough non-college people there to make it worth it. Because, Upland is one of the top in the country. And, they just started down in Bloomington. So, obviously, there was enough going on there. And then you got Cardinal Spirits down there. So,
and Function kills it. Function's a little spot.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And killing it.
And so I feel like there's just enough outsiders, non-college people, and then the surrounding counties.
The people who commute and the people who... Yeah.
Yep. Because like with West Lafayette, you got Lafayette and whatever else is around them for people to come in and try out the different... Well, they got like two or three breweries up there now, something like that.
They got two, and I want to say...
They got
there are people talking. There's something like five in the works.
There's one in the... It's like Velocity...
Escape Velocity.
Yeah. I don't know if their Kickstarter worked out or not, but yeah, I remember seeing them. They were going to be like a space brewery up there, brew pub. It was all
First college on the moon.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can they make the freeze dried beer, just like the freeze dried ice cream and the
like a Dippin' Dots kind of thing?
Yeah, you know,
with beer, that'd be interesting.
That's a hell of an idea right there. Dippin' Dots beer. I'm going to give it a shot.
There you go.
I'm going to give it a shot.
But would it be beer that is then turned into Dippin' Dots or ice cream that's flavored?
That's to work out later.
I'm just saying. There's a big difference.
Don't focus on the immediate picture. It's the big picture. We can make this work.
I had beer cotton candy over when did I get that? Tuesday? It's good.
Nice.
It's good.
Where did you have beer cotton candy?
My wife got it for me for our anniversary.
Nice.
And so
she took cotton candy, poured beer over it, and said, "Here you go." Beer
cotton candy. She probably did, and it still tastes freaking delicious. Because then she bought a bacon one too, and the bacon one doesn't taste very good at all. But the beer one, solid, nice and sweet. Kind of has that beer flavor to it.
Nice. Like unfortunately, that. I get a lot of things that are beer flavored or and they just scented, like the jelly beans. And they kind of remind me of like what my college apartment smelled like the morning after like a Friday or Saturday. And it's like that kind of beer.
Right.
Yep. No. Not appetizing.
But when it comes to Switch, what is it? Switch?
Switch Yard.
Yeah, Switch Yard. The Kickstarter, the place falling through, the kind of looking for... I mean, you've been on this discovery now. How difficult is it to really open a brewery, to get one going? Because I know, the big ones are kind of established. They make it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody that tries to open a brewery has some sort of a swing and a miss when they're trying to get it off the ground. And I know it's not just, hey, get money, open brewery, success.
Yeah, it's like the underpants gnomes.
Right.
Make beer, question
mark. Mr. Mark.
Make money. Money.
Yeah.
No, it was, luckily, Monticello is not in the top five population towns in Indiana. It's a town of about 4,500 people. And from the day that I started brewing at Peoples, the building that I'm in, it's just outside of Monticello, and it was between the city, the big city mm-hmm. of Monticello, and where I grew up. So I drove past this building a million times, and there isn't as high of a demand for the type of buildings you see breweries going into, these old industrial spots. You're up there just...
Yeah.
Yeah, when Dustin was
Northwest Trip. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is the perfect building for a brewery. Yeah, that was nice. And there wasn't a lot of people after it, so I didn't have those kind of pitfalls.
Right.
But there's a lot of things that I've been doing this for a better part of a decade, things I took for granted, you know, like getting the permit. In my head, it was like, oh, I know everything they want to know. You know, it's bang, bang, bang. I started to build out in October, and I said, I'm going to have beer by December. And I got my permit like second week of May.
Right.
That's an incredibly long time that, and I've seen people run into this before, even, what's that one? And I'm not positive on what's going on with them, but Bent Rail. I don't know if they're mm-hmm. brewing. I don't know what's going on with them, but
oh, yeah, I don't
know it was the same brewing. Kind of thing. Yeah, it was a permitting issue. They had all their equipment and, you know, getting equipment versus getting your permit. There's weird timelines that you need to do for that. I can't imagine the capital for a massive brewery and then doing this. But yeah, right. It sucks kind of opening a brewery. It's fun. Well, it's very romantic, but it's
work.
It's work.
It's the same thing of me running a business. Like, I love doing the stuff I'm doing, but then you show me the financials and show me all the tax crap that I got to remember and mm-hmm. making sure I make my payments quarterly or monthly or whatever the hell I got to do. And that's why I got people for it now. But before I had people for it, I had to figure it all out on my own. And I owed $7,000-$8,000 to the government because I screwed it up the first couple of years, and you know, it sucks. The romantic part is brewing beer. People coming in, enjoying it.
I was working for Chris Johnson, and I was like, dude, like I got in early. I was 21 when I started working for Chris. I was like, yeah, this is so cool. You know, you own a brewery, you got keys, limitless beer. And he's like, yeah, but if the door breaks, like I need to fix that. And if this breaks, I need to fix that now. Where when he was before, he was brewing at Lafayette Brewing Company. He's like, before, I just tell the next guy.
Right.
And so now I've had two brewing positions where I just kind of tell the next guy, this thing's broke. It's going to be extremely expensive to fix. So let's get it fixed. Now, I'm in that same position that it's been funny kind of watching the flow of things, where someone's like, hey, this is broke. And I'm like, I don't know, let's find a different way. Let's find a way around it. We're not fixing that right now. It's been fun.
And then it comes to another question that I had for you, which was, since you've kind of been in this position now, and you've talked about how going and finding that building, you'd had your eye on it, it was easier to get because it's less people after it,
mm-hmm.
But you're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So what, I don't know, you've been in both places, which is it different? I don't even know what the question is. It's basically, I know... you can get a building easier and probably get up and running brewing quicker and cheaper by mm-hmm. going that route. But do you see the returns? And I know you're kind of in your infancy, so trying to see it long term, you hope for it, obviously, and we all do, but
sure. I mean, I think in the grand scheme, I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere. I am just outside of the small town of Monticello in the middle of nowhere. I remember you talking about the scenes you saw driving in. It's a small rural town. My location, though, is maybe only a mile, maybe a half mile from the center of Monticello.
Nice.
I am across the water, so I'm actually in a different county than the town is. And it's odd, having grown up there, as soon as you cross that bridge, it's like you're in the country. So it does feel like I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
But the local traffic has been extremely... dynamite, way more than what I thought it would be. It's a very touristy town. It goes from 4,500 people to about 10,000 people with traffic. We got Indiana Beach.
Right.
Got a couple lakes. And the local traffic has really made it for me. It's been killer. It's so new. I did want to be downtown. Right. I think that would have been a way better spot so I can participate in the downtown events. So that is kind of pro and con, but the building I got is way bigger than anything I could have got downtown. The price is better, and the character of the building, you're going to have to come up and check it out now. Absolutely. We'll do a satellite show now. It is perfect for the beer factory.
Well, because I was going to say, you know, when it comes to a kind of a rural location like that, the prices generally are cheaper, so you're able to kind of withstand less revenue coming in for periods of time, whereas if you were downtown Indy, per se, you know, like you've been before, granted on somebody else's dime, but
yeah,
they basically have to keep up a standard, otherwise they're fucked.
I mean, I tell people a lot, people that come in from Indy, right. And it is great. The type of stuff that I offer, I get people in from all over the state, definitely on the weekends, so I like to be around and talk to them. But I tell people, yeah, I lived in Fountain Square area, and they'll kind of look around, and then there's just this mutual nod. It's like, this would have been killer, you know, some factory on Mass Ave or Fountain Square, Fletcher Place, the right. type of thing that I'm doing. I cannot believe, I don't even want to think what the price would have been for the size building that I have right. in those areas. You right. can't do it. So it's a, like I said, little pros, little cons. It's working out. It's working out pretty well.
But I love that you did it.
I'm doing it now. You know, I'm struggling. Right? Just keep it all done. And Matt calls me and says, come do the show.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck, I gotta go to Indy again.
Get a bunch of stuff. Yeah, back down in Indy. Whatever. It's a short 2-hour drive.
No, it isn't. Well, okay, so the last time I went to Monticello was last year for Indiana Beach with kids, so that might have been the difference in why it didn't feel like it was short.
Sure.
Lost my phone up there.
I think I have it.
Nah, I think it was I think it's at Indiana Beach. I think it was fell off a roller coaster. In fact, the guy behind me on the roller coaster said, dude, man, something flew out of your shirt pocket and just exploded. It was awesome. And I was like, there went my phone.
Put a phone in a shirt pocket to ride
a roller
coaster?
I had it in my pants pocket until Michelle called me saying, hey, where are you at? I was like, still in line. And for some reason, instinct was to just shove it right in because I was getting ready to get on the roller coaster. So I was like, all right, in line, but I got to go because I'm up next. And I don't know why. Sure, it was nice and secure in the pants pocket. Wasn't going to touch it. And then she called. So it's all Michelle's fault.
Still your
we'll
fault.
Just blame her.
Yeah.
But
we'll get you back on that.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm all out of beer, so we need some beer.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll beer flat it up.
I have to do Dustin's job once again.
I think you did a great job last week of doing just Dustin's job, or 2 weeks ago, or whatever it was.
We'll say that.
Before the incident?
Yeah, before the incident.
We should have, like, intro music or something playing right now.
Yeah, is it, like, elevator-ish music?
I don't know. What do you feel? Think I went to Jeopardy there for a second for some stupid reason. Or actually, not...
it's decent montage music.
Not Jeopardy. I think it was Wheel of Fortune.
Or the... So what I would do... I'm sorry, I don't want to be too particular. I would do... Because this is how I have it set up at the brewery, so it's going to be important to me. Let's do the Old Tavern. The... we'll save the pugs till the end. Because I bet that's pretty heavy. The Old Tavern, the Sun King Growler, the People's Bullet, and then we'll do the Flat 12. So, what I've brought for everybody.
There you go.
Is it's funny. You know, Matt, we were kind of chatting yesterday about what we were going to drink. He's like, yeah, I got, what was it, California beers?
No, Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Minnesota and Wisconsin beers. I was like, I'll bring 2 beers. And then you bring the rest, and he's like, yeah, I got these Minnesota, Wisconsin beers. I said, no. No, I am on Indiana beer. We're doing Indiana beers. So I brought these from the bar, and it's a nice little nod, I think. I got my start in the industry at People's Brewing Company. I was working there for 3, almost 4 years, and then was... Director of Operations of Flat 12. So brought the Old Tavern Lager, which is the pale. That's by Peoples. It's a pre-prohibition lager beer created using kind of remnants of a recipe from Thieman Wagner. They did a beer. Right. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was Tavern something. I think it was Tavern beer, Tavern Lager. The second beer he poured is my Smoke That Cherry. That name was decided upon by my Mug Club members. It's a Cherrywood Smoked Rye Amber Ale. I know Matt had it at Hot Model. Did you have it there?
I did not, I don't think.
So this is the second batch. And, you know, part of kind of getting things rolling is replication. And I'm happy with the way it turned out the second round. The third beer is my IPA. This is the first time I tried this one. It's called the Candy Shop. It's a Centennial and Cascade IPA. 7.3%, 77 IBUs. It's very green. I'm stoked. I'm happy to see that there's at least some carbonation because they're very fresh. And then the fourth beer is a barrel-aged Pogue's Run Porter. When I was at Flat 12, we won medal for the Pogue's Run. It's a quintessential Flat 12 beer. And my brew crew pals from Flat 12 made the trip up to Monticello to check out the new spot. And they were kind enough to bring me this beer.
Nice. I don't think I've had the barrel-aged version of Pogue's Run.
It has been a long time since I've had it. And this is the first time they've put it in a bottle. They did the wax dip. Looks nice.
I think they had it at Christmas of July last year.
Pogue's being one of the beers that they produce all the time. You know, really one of the better sellers of Flat 12. It was always available. So if there's barrels available, we try to put Pogue's in something because it's very good beer for receiving those types of flavors.
Right. I can't wait to try it. The Old Tavern. The very first time I ever had the Old Tavern was at Birdie's. There was a band night, and and the other Sean of the show, Sean Webster, was there.
Nice.
Working at People's at the time.
Yeah.
And he had a few of the beers, and that's when I think that was my very first introduction to People's beer. It was about 2-3 years ago, something like that. So
I remember when I was there, we were working on a very similar lager. The owner and brewer there, Chris Johnson, is a German lager guy.
Gotcha.
As a newbie into craft beer, I was like, yeah, let's do hops. Let's do these kind of crazy stuff. He's German lager beers. We made my wife and I came in and Chris gave us the opportunity to brew a Schwartz beer for our wedding.
Nice.
So he's all in on that. And the Old Tavern was something he was working on for a long time. We did it under a different name when I was there and tried similar things. And I remember when it finally came out, he finally hit it. It was dynamite beer. He did a really good job.
All right, let's get to this.
All right, Old Tavern.
The funny thing about Sean Webster was the very first time I saw him after that was on this show. He came in, I'm like, man, that dude looks familiar. He's kind of funny looking, you know? I don't know. Something about him that stands out. And
sure.
I think it might have either been after we were finished or before, and he just kind of looked at me like, you have no fucking clue who I am, do you? And I'm like, oh, shit. It's one of those things.
Yeah, Sean's a great character. He and I were on a... Were you in the Mario Kart League?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, I know what you're talking about.
So I ran a Mario Kart League. I'm going to say it right now. I'm probably one of the better Mario Kart players in the world. I'll say it right now. So I ran this league mostly to stroke my own ego and win.
Which version?
64.
64. It have to be 64. That's 64. Amazing. See, I don't know. I could give you a run for your money. The problem is I haven't played it in a while. But back in the day, so I need to get my skills back up.
Get trained a little bit. Yeah. We'll have a little something. But then Tappers had a Mario Kart competition.
Nice.
And so I called a bunch of my people in the league. It's like, let's represent the league. Let's do this. The final four, they're racing foursomes. The final four was me, Kyle Cruz, who's the bar manager at Flat 12, and he was in the league. We had another guy from the league, and then this poor little girl who just got the perfect draw to end up at the final four. And the way they had it going, it was the Special Cup.
Right.
And we were racing Rainbow Road.
Ugh.
And I don't know if
I love Rainbow Road.
I did the shortcut.
Nobody loves Rainbow Road. Come on now.
But you got to know the shortcut. I did the immediately start, jump left off the track.
Uh-huh.
And I think I tried it the first time and didn't hit it. I want to say it was a triumphant third lap. I finally hit it. Tried it both times. and won the thing. So I won into the adult Mario Kart or whatever. And Webster was on my team because he's a fantastic athlete.
Right.
And I was thinking strategy. Athlete for Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love Sean. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he was on episode 8, if you haven't checked that out. He threw some shade in episode 8. What else did he do? He talked about side-scrolling a lot. Wow, that dude's really loves side-scrolling on TVs.
Basically, I was going to say, if I would have done exactly what he wanted, which I don't have time for, but if I did, that thing would have had like scrolling everywhere. It would have looked like CNN on steroids.
Well, can we do this? Can we get a picture of Sean right here?
All right.
Do we have those capabilities?
Sean sitting on your lap or sitting on your hand.
Yeah.
Once we get that sweet t-shirt money rolling in, maybe. So go buy our t-shirts if you want to see.
Where do you buy those t-shirts?
Videos. It's the IndianaOnTap.com, the shop. And then you can find our t-shirt. Our bro tanks are up there as well for all the bros out there.
For the Indian On Tap podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast. Not just the normal crap.
They say on air, so that's nice. The difference.
Yep.
The other stuff's good, you know. I mean, go buy the other stuff, but...
No, just buy ours.
Yeah.
Ours is the only ones that matter. We'll just keep it with that. So... You mentioned before the show, you asked if we were going to talk about rate beer. And we might as well, because we got beers to drink and we got a little bit of time to kill. So if you haven't...
I don't know. We're about 9 minutes away from that mark that people dislike, so...
All right. So that means we got like... Wait, dislike?
Yeah, the hour long.
Oh,
nine
no.
minutes away from
so, out. So we still have like half an hour to go. All right, exactly. Cool.
Yeah, we got this.
Yeah, we got time. So rate beer, which if you don't know... is sort of like Untappd or Beer Advocate. It's a place where people can go rate different beers, talk about them, and it's like, you know, super, to me, it's somewhat beer snobbery-ish because they get super into it and whatever. But it turns out that a minority stake of their company had been bought by AB InBev back in October of 2016, and for some reason, it's just now coming out that stake had been bought. And the craft beer community, including a lot of brewers and breweries, are pretty pissed about this. And as you mentioned, Dogfish Head had asked to be taken off. I think they were the first big name that were like, just remove all of my beers from your website. What was the other one? Six Points?
I think thought it was Six Point.
I think that they're in there. The article I pulled up here, Harpoon, Black Project Ale, Prison City, and Cantillon, out of Belgium. I guess it's
Cantillon.
Yeah, there you go. They have
it's
all
a bigger
asked,
name when you when you just hear it. Yeah, it's a big name.
They have all asked to be removed as well. So this is turning into a Wicked Weed type of situation with the Funkatorium Invitational. Everyone's just like pulling out, don't want anything to do with it. What's kind of your take on all of this?
I agree with the argument that Dogfish Head made that said we cannot assume that somebody that owns this piece of journalism is going to properly represent our brand, you know, in that kind of reporting and whatnot. And I kind of attribute it to something like these any user review site that you can pay to put your name up a little higher.
Yep.
You know, I kind of see it as the same thing. So I totally agree with what Dogfish Head said. I think Six Point pretty much just said, yeah, we're doing the same thing. I think that was about the extent of what they said. And I think a lot of people are starting to say that. On my end, you know, yeah, support local. And I know I've talked to you and talked to Dustin about this, but in opening my new spot, it took a lot of economic arguments with the locals because that's something that really resonated with them. So, you know, we talk about American-made cars and American-made air conditioners. You know, Carrier was a huge story. Even ladders. Ladders is the third thing that I've heard thrown around a bit as American-made. Well, how many times in a year do you buy any three of those products? You know,
right.
Maybe it's one every year, maybe. But how many times do you buy beer? And so if we're really going to take this stance of supporting, you know, immediately local, or local in the greater sense of it's within the state, or regional breweries, American breweries, privately owned breweries, I think it ekes into everything. Something like rape beer. You know, if you want to support where your money's going and keep it local, at this point, yeah, remove yourself from rape beer. I agree with that stance full-heartedly.
Now, I am right.
Pretty new. I got nothing on rape beer, but I'm going to tell them. Please do not add me.
Now, I guess the question would be, and somebody would have to actually dig into this, as of right now, has anything been tampered with? Has anything been screwed around? Because I absolutely agree that it's a poor thing to do, but in this kind of day and age, it's almost what happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, I've worked for media outlets for years that get bought out by other giant media outlets or get bought out by corporations that own the media outlet, and then, you know, they can't say anything bad about certain things. Or they're supposed to still be able to, but you always wonder if they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that kind of puts a lot of doubt in people's head when they're going to rate beer now, because is it really giving the locals the chance that it deserves, or is it pretty much finding a way to downplay them while pushing InBev stuff up, even though it might not be, you know, like, they're not going to throw up, oh my God, Budweiser has a 90% rating now.
Sure.
But they are going to throw up, you know, anything that they've acquired over the past.
Well, you're
going to,
I bet you see, and I don't want to get this wrong, so we'll see, but what is it? Northern Brewer. You're going to see Northern Brewer ads.
Right.
On there. I'm sure Rate Beer has ads. To be honest, I never really used Rate Beer. When I first got into it, it was Beer Advocate.
Right.
And then I got into smartphones. I was like, gosh, I really hope Beer Advocate, so I don't have to keep taking freaking notes. Mm-hmm. Let me have my phone ready to do it.
Right.
Untappd was the first app to really utilize it. I've never really used Rate Beer, but I see it. I do not think they're going to, blow up Budweiser and belittle some of these other craft. I think it is a bigger stance to say, I'm no longer using this service because of ownership. And I think it's just the economic power that people can pull.
Well, I agree.
Well, and I guess the standpoint of what does AB InBev want to get out of Rate Beer? Like, why would you buy a stake in it? Because money-wise, I'm assuming they're not making hand-over-fist money, because just looking at their website, they don't have a ton of advertising. So, and it's just Google ads.
And that may change. You don't know what their stance is right now. I mean, no, they could be building a brand new back end for all of this stuff.
True, but it's been 8 months and they haven't done anything.
True.
To do it. So why in those 8 months have nothing, if nothing's changed, then what is AB InBev's play here?
Unless it's a pure data play, unless they're looking to get the back end stats on everything that's going
which
on.
Which they kind of maybe keep your finger to the pulse.
Yeah.
Maybe it helps figure out who to maybe buy next, or at least.
But you're right. After. It doesn't really make sense. It's not one of the big ones that you would think, oh my God, I can't, you know.
Yeah.
Unless they started pushing their own stuff. And again, I don't say, you know, they're big three. I think they would push, what's the ones they've acquired over the past few years?
10 Barrel.
Wicked
Weed.
Yeah,
probably
exactly.
Push some of those. But even then, like, if people started seeing those at the top, then you're going to know something's up. But in 8 months, you haven't seen a single, you know,
right
difference in it. So I have a hard time with this one. I understand the backing out of it, but I don't think Rate Beer's a beer advocate or an Untappd or anything like that.
I was going to say, it's like the
number
third
three
fiddle,
out of those.
Easily, yeah.
So, like, what's, the play on this?
It's still the principle.
I really don't.
It's still the principle of the thing.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
If we tomorrow found out Untappd was bought by Miller Coors, I think people would go apeshit over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things that, I don't know, it feels dirty being a part of something that you're against.
No,
you're against
true.
The suppression, you're against the the money being thrown about to make sure that you get, I guess, premium push over everybody else. So if it's not there, I mean, you know, if they bought Untappd, everybody would, not everybody, but a lot of people would stop using it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The problem is, especially with Untappd or something bigger, like, you know, Beer Advocate, you have to almost weigh in, what does that do for me compared to being on there and not being on there? Mm-hmm. Because I know Untappd is huge. I use Untappd all the time. Well, okay, I used to use Untappd all the time. I rarely remember it now, but it was nice to see what other people are drinking because it's a very social app. It's even Beer Advocate, I have to go out and look at Untappd. I can just pull up the thing, and there's the social feed of everything that people are drinking. I'm like, oh, I haven't tried that yet. Mm-hmm. I need to get up to that bar, or I need to get up to that brewery, or I need to go order what they had where I'm at. So I don't know.
I was, when I first saw the story, I was like, wow, yeah, they bought Rate Beer. Yeah, Dogfish is pulling out, you know, yeah, it all makes sense. But then, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, I've used Rate Beer maybe 5 times in the past 10 years.
Well, it'd be interesting to see those who do use it on a regular basis to see what their thoughts are with it. I'm sure some won't care, just like people don't care when AB buys out, you know, different craft breweries and stuff like that. So it'll be an interesting one because it's kind of a new ground. They had the AB InBev started or bought out, I think it was like XYZ or something like that, or that was the name of the company that they made. That was then like a journalist website, and then people found out about it, and you're like, no. Like, that's kind of where you draw the line of when you're starting to push or you can't. It's kind of like the whole ESPN thing. I don't know if you guys follow that or not, but like the whole Bill Simmons issue where so basically they put all this money into getting the NFL for Monday Night Football. And then he, during Deflategate, you know, he took shots at Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, and they told him to back off. And he goes, no.
Right.
I'm a journalist. We are unbiased. This is what we do.
Well, and I mean, I went through the same issue when I was working as assistant producer for Mark Patrick on sports here in Indianapolis. We had one of the biggest stories of, like, what, 2002, something like that. I was working at Q95, WNDE, and Jay Moore went on to Jim Rome's show saying that they practiced Edrin James beyond what his capacity could be because he got injured. And they wound up tearing some more ligaments in his knee. And it was a huge story, that he said that on Jim Rome's show. And we weren't really sure if he said he was talking to an agent. Their agent turned out not to be, you know, Edge's agent anyway. But we had Bill Polian come on that day because he always came on Monday to talk about what happened on Sunday. And we brought that story up, to which he was infuriated. He wanted to, he wanted the transcript. He wanted everything about it. Somehow we wound up talking him into, well, if we got Jay Moore on, would you come on with him? And so Tuesday, I had, by the end of that interview on Monday, I already had Jay Moore's contact information from the Baba Tom Show. Called up Jay Moore, confirmed it. We told Bill Polian, he said yes, he would come on. And it was the 20 minutes of the most awkward, fun radio I've ever been a part of.
Interesting.
And it made national news because you've got Bill Polian ranting and raving, Jay Moore saying, this guy's a lunatic. He won't even let me get word in, you know. Indianapolis is listening to their favorite, you know, president just being a complete moron. It was national news. And the Colts came down very hard on us. Like, that next little bit, because we were in the contract year with the Colts. So Q95 was possibly going to lose the Colts. We kissed their ass so much. I mean, we couldn't make fun of them. We couldn't talk about them in bad form. Basically, that's just
horrible.
Yeah, and Mark was a sports broadcaster who had to toe a line that he shouldn't have had to toe. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Just because money was involved and the Colts were part of it and they were pissed off. We wound up signing the Colts for another 4 years. They won their Super Bowl and then they jumped ship and went to another station anyway. So who cares? You know, it. I don't know. It is kind of that.
Money talks. That's,
yeah.
That's true.
And I hate that.
And I have to walk that line too with Indiana on tap, but having gone to school for journalism and knowing what the ethics are and stuff like that, I mean, I've been upfront with people. If you do something stupid or the beer I'm having is not good, I'm going to say it. I'm not going to tiptoe around it because then people just assume that everything I drink is good. And that's not the case. It is a hard thing as someone in that industry or who does this and works for a company who then makes their money on the back end from the craft beer industry. It's a line you have to tiptoe around, but at the same point, you know, to break everything that we've kind of talked or that we're talking about. But there's a website that I frequent a lot. It's a video game website because I'm into that crap too.
Nice.
But the guy who started it worked at a place called GameSpot, which would basically
I know exactly what you're saying, and I was actually going to bring this part up.
So he was fired because he gave a bad he gave a low score on a game that was providing a lot of advertising to the company. And he goes, yeah, I'm not changing my score just because they're an advertiser. So he was fired, and then he started his own company.
And my namesake jumped ship from that place, too.
Who?
The Brad Shoemaker who takes up all of my Google space.
Yeah, which is great. I love it because I think about it every time I'm on that website. Yeah, so he went and joined Jeff Gerstmann, too. But he started his own company, which is now owned by CBS, who also owns GameSpot.
Well, I was going to say.
Employer, so it's fantastic.
I was going to say, the game, or, you know, Giant Bomb,
yes.
Which is what you're talking about. And again, the only reason I know this isn't because I sit there and visit these sites.
Game.
It's just because Brad Shoemaker works for it.
Yeah,
and, like,
it's fantastic.
But the fact that he now works for the same employer, because it wasn't GameSpot that told him, it was CBS that pretty much, the overriding CBS, who now owns Giant Bomb. So he's back in the same position, but he's got, obviously in his contract, things that say what he can and cannot do. And he has the control over it. But the fact that he's back where he started is kind of weird.
Yeah, it is weird. But you look at what he stood up for himself and said, I'm not going to change, you know, the way that I do journalism just because you're making money on it. There's something to that that a lot of people won't do. And he's like revered now in the video game community. Because, like, when he tells you he likes something, you know it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's like, Mario Kart 64 is the greatest game ever, you're like, yeah, no, he's probably right then.
The second greatest Ocarina of Time is the greatest game.
I can get behind that.
Well,
but,
you've got...
But there's something to that where you
007 64, you know, is also still up there.
It's great. Yep. Yeah, it's up there.
But the other thing that you have to think of, like, with, and I know we're going way off the rails here, but with the Bill Simmons and ESPN situation, stuff like that, I absolutely agree that Bill Simmons was kind of pushed out unfairly and kind of, you know, they went in a bad way. But ESPN, minus the fact that when they're actually on story and breaking news, what a lot of what Bill Simmons does and a lot of what we do in journalism isn't necessarily journalism, so to speak. We can write a story that badmouths the Colts or the NFL without really pulling the heart out and stomping on it.
Well, and you can do that with beer too.
Right.
It's the same form.
But a lot of what winds up happening is a podcast is not journalistic. This is our opinions. This is us kind of going. And that's what a lot of ESPN shows are. That's what CNN is. That's what news is kind of boiled down to. Yes, there's some journalistic aspects, but you're putting a lot of yourself into these stories anymore, as opposed to just being that third party that weighs both sides.
Yep.
And because of that, I think that sometimes has more to play on, like, a Bill Simmons than what we think.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's one way to write it where you're taking both sides and you're showing off, you know, what's going on and maybe even coming to the conclusion of, based on facts, here's where things are wrong, and going on and talking about how Roger Goodell is the stupidest person in the world because he's following this. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's kind of one of those that... It is and it isn't. So it's a very muddy area anymore because we're not objective. We're not, we're entertainment shows now. We're not journalistic shows. That's kind of the way it is anymore.
Well, I think, kind of circling back, what rape beer is, it's not an extreme player. It's interesting that they bought it. It's interesting that for the past 8 months, we really haven't heard about it. Dogfish. I think the news broke really because Dogfish was like, we know about this. We're pulling out.
No, Good Beer Hunting was the one who found out about it and broke.
He's all over everything.
They are. Yeah, they just everything. They break and they do.
But even Rapier, it's not even. It is a subjective user review site.
Right.
You know, like, I don't imagine too much bad is going to come from it. For instance, let's say AB InBev bought you guys. Well, it's Indiana on tap. All they're doing is pulling the mass amount of money that you're pulling. They're just getting a little cut out of it.
Yep.
But you can't have Indiana on tap without Indiana beer doing the same thing you're doing.
So what you're saying is InBev is the godfather.
They pretty much are the godfathers. Piece, you know, so. We'll protect you. You know, we're going to get rid of Untappd. Just watch. Give me some shake up here. Rapier is going to come out with the sickest app now, and
right,
everyone's going there. But you know, you were saying journalistically, you're going to tell me how it is. This is, you've had it twice now, been two batches. I want to know what you think of the amber, and Brad, I want to know what you think of the amber.
Believe it or not, I do remember getting that at. As soon as I tasted it, I was like, "Holy crap!" Yeah, I do remember it, and I loved it then. I still love it now. So.
Good.
I'm very excited that it's still going, and it second batch tastes just as good as the first.
Yeah, it works.
I don't know if it's because I've had beer today, but I didn't get as much smoke in that one as the first one.
Matt's on something.
Yeah.
So I changed the yeast. The first time I did this beer, I used a Scottish ale yeast. I really wanted to accentuate the smoke, and I put this out to my bar, and some people said it's a little too smoky for me. So I kept the recipe the same, and I changed it to an English ale yeast. And it subdued that smoke, made it more rounded. I think it's still very balanced. It's a little sweeter. Yeah. It doesn't bring out that smoke, but good call. Good
catch.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, because I drink it, I'm like, man, I'm just... At first, I was like, am I drinking the right beer? He said it was the second one.
I thought it was Dustin that always came on and was like, well, I get notes of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Whatever. So the only reason I'm good at this one is because I own a smoker, so I do a lot of like smoking of ribs and briskets and crap like that. So I have that acumen for that taste.
Sure.
And I love Rausch beers all day, and those are like the smokiest thing you can drink. So that's like the one flavor I know to look for. And when I had it last time, I was like, ooh, okay. It's not as smoky as I thought it was going to be. Because everyone calls it a... Whenever you see the word smoke, you just never know how much is going to be in it. And I was like, all right, not as much as I thought it was going to be. Really good. And this one, I'm like, I don't really taste any smoke. So maybe I got the wrong one. I don't know.
Yeah, it's more... It's sweeter. It's more back end with that yeast change, but good call. What about the IPA?
The IPA is amazing.
Awesome. Matt, what do you think?
I mean, it was pretty good. I drank it all, and I... didn't really take time to.
You know, I just wanted to get a little bit.
It's not overhopped. It's
this is the. You guys are the first two people outside of myself and my father to try it. He's always on my ass to try something. So
I like it because it's not overhopped. I mean, there was a time where I couldn't wait for to drink the most hoppiest thing in the world. But I think as a lot of people are getting, we're kind of over that part.
Oh, it just kept stacking.
Yeah,
you can get way too much.
So I think it's got a nice balance.
Yeah, I wanted to. What's great about my small system is the ability, calling this candy shop just because it needs a name, and I'm really happy with how it came out. Did another beer that I replaced some of the Pilsner malt with rye, changed this is Centennial Cascade, so I changed the Centennial to Chinook. Just get to kind of expand on beers, but no, good. It's good to hear. That's the whole reason I drove the 2 hours, was to see what you guys thought. So
I mean, it was good. I drank the whole thing. It didn't.
Go back to Monticello.
I guess I'll have to try more after the show because I don't really have a take on it. I drink it too fast. Drinking this. Yeah, we got talking. I got drinking. This is what happens.
That's how it goes.
My wife always says, you drink so fast. And I don't know what it is, but it's true.
Well, we got to make those people that are mad. It's longer than an hour show. We got to make them happy.
Yeah.
Make them
all down. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to love this one. Oh, great. They're talking about sports and video games. Where's the beer?
And journalistic integrity.
Yeah, journalistic integrity.
What is journalism? What isn't journalism? This is an amazing show right here.
This is what happens when we fire Dustin.
So,
maybe we're going to have to bring him back to get
fourth beer.
This is
Barrel-Aged Pogues Run.
I really like this. It's really smooth.
It is incredibly smooth.
Yeah.
I got to give Sean Lewis props and Eric Fox props. Will Green, the crew at Flat 12. I remember I was there. I was a part of it. So it is something I can take a lot of pride in. Was really honing. I coined the term Woodworks. And I hope they use that. I hope they keep using that because that's a fantastic use. What Sean Lewis has been able to do with the barrels is incredible. Every single barrel-aged beer that comes out of there. The choice of the base beer is always fantastic. They have access to, I want to say limitless types of barrels, but they get in the mead barrels, they get in tequila, rum, the works. And him and Eric do a fantastic job of picking what beer goes in what barrel and then manicuring that. This is a really good beer.
Yeah, this is really good. I'm pretty sure they released this one. Yeah, last year at maybe it wasn't. Was it February? Sorry, it was in February at their anniversary party. Right. I'm pretty sure they had it there because I bought the maple, and this one I was like, well, I don't know if I should buy it. Now I kind of wish I would have because that's damn good.
Yeah, it was nice to get a hookup. So my son just turned one, May 29th, turned 1 year old.
Congrats.
His name is Porter.
Yes,
I do remember that. We had you on the show when you were still expecting, wasn't it?
Lil P.
Or what, he was
born. Yeah. Yeah.
So way back in last year.
Yeah, it was like a year and 9 months ago. There you go. he's so much fun. But, you know, part of this whole Porter thing, got a lot of friends and their kids are actually named Porter. Mike Hofferman's a really good friend of mine.
His son's Porter. I remember seeing someone else with that name.
And Hoff and I worked together at Flat 12, and I remember my wife was like, what are we going to name the kid? We're talking, it's like Christmas. We're still a ways out. I was like, you know what? What about Porter? And we talked about all these other names, and she was into it. I was like, yeah. And then we won a medal when I was at Flat 12, four Pogues Run Porter. It was very fitting. This is Pogues Run. I have it on at the bar all the time. It's one of my favorite beers. I think they did a really good job in the barrel. This is a really good beer.
Yeah, it really is. So congrats, Flat 12, on brewing a really good barrel-aged Pogues Run Porter.
No, with that being said, you talked about the maple.
Oh, God.
I was up at Indiana Whiskey up in South Bend not too long ago, bought 2 20-gallon barrels, and I gave them to my syrup guy. May or may not be the same syrup guy.
I don't care. We're making more maple beer. I'm all for it. That is like the greatest stuff I've ever had. I absolutely love it.
You know what is not? What is it? The Crown Royal Maple Whiskey.
Ooh, that stuff's horrible.
Indiana Whiskey up South Bend. Right. I don't know. I feel like I'm in a whole different time zone almost being down in Indy now. Because they're like, oh, it'll never make it to Monticello. As far south as Monticello. I'm like, oh, they're never going to get it in Indy. I got to get some. But they make a maple whiskey that's killer. So my plan with these barrels now, treating everything small. It's Indiana made barrel from an Indiana distillery that uses only Indiana ingredients. I then gave it to a maple syrup. I don't know what to say. Farmer, harvester.
Right.
I don't know what he does.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's going to put Indiana syrup in there. I'm getting one barrel back to age my Imperial Stout. It's called Ursula. I'm going to age that in the barrel. And then the other barrel, we're talking with Indiana Whiskey about giving it back to him so they'll age the spirit in it in the maple barrel.
Right.
Then I will age beer in the, you know, bourbon maple bourbon barrel.
Nice.
And then give it back to Indiana Whiskey for a bourbon maple bourbon beer. Bourbon. It's going to be very fun.
Is it weird? Are they allowed to? Because I thought that, I know, what is it? Kentucky has strict laws about, or strict, I guess, practices about not using the same whiskey barrel.
I guess technically it has to be virgin oak
right.
to be bourbon, so some kind of whiskey.
Mm-hmm. And now when it comes to, and we were talking about barrels a little bit with Flat 12, but where do they do a lot of sourcing from Indiana distilleries and stuff now that they're popping up, or do they usually go to a Tennessee or a Kentucky to grab them from there and bring them up? Or is it from NGP, that kind of weird distillery that does a lot of craft stuff that nobody knows about?
The LDI.
LDI, that's it.
Yeah, they got a lot of barrels from LDI. There's a Cooper in Louisville. So there was a facility, the Flat 12 facility in Jeffersonville,
right.
real close to this Cooper in Louisville. So we did some work with them. But it's really depending on what you're looking for. You know, there's brokers that ship all across the country. So if you're looking for tequila barrels, you can find tequila barrels. Remember, we did a lot of stuff with Journeyman. But that's, you need 12 54-gallon barrels like this guy.
Right.
I have the privilege of brewing next to nothing in volume anymore. So a 20-gallon barrel from somewhere in state is great. At the bar, I've got Indiana Spirits. So I've got a lot of distillers that I've been talking with about getting their barrels specifically to get a bourbon, put a beer in it, and give it back to them, do a whiskey.
Right.
You know, Coiffon, I forget what the name of their distillery is.
Hard Truth.
Hard Truth. I'd love to work with them, but they got the the brewery distillery thing going on. So any barrel age, I'm sure, is going to go in between.
Which I still can't believe that that cinnamon vodka that they have, like the first time I had it was at the Indiana's Next Top Model. I get a cinnamon vodka. Or what I thought was, I mean, it tasted a lot like Fireball.
Fireball.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is like really smooth Fireball type whiskey, you know, or cinnamon whiskey. And sure enough, I got down there and I was like, holy shit, it's vodka. No wonder it's so smooth. It's not the...
I'm so blown away by 100% of Indiana products. Again, my bar carries nothing but Indiana-made products. Spirits, I got something like 20 different spirits on, all made in Indiana. I got the 20 taps of beer, at least 20 bottles. I got a bunch of meads and ciders. And when people come in, and it is a small town, a little conservative town, so they come in, they ask for Jack and Coke. I don't have Jack and Coke. I only carry Indiana spirits. And they're like, okay, I'll have a Bacardi and Coke. All right, you're not catching on here. You want a whiskey and Coke. You know, so Starlight makes their Carl T. Bourbon, which is killer. Indiana whiskey, they're just whiskey bourbon. Killer. Sometimes when they ask for a Jack and Coke, I just throw it in there and see what they think. And the grand, the idea of what's going on there is kind of lost on a lot of people, that it's only Indiana product, but they're drinking it. Right. And they're really enjoying it, and they're coming back. And I think for that to take off in Monticello is just, it's unbelievable to me. But I think it'll serve as a launching point for everywhere across the state. You can get Indiana-made products that taste just as good, if not better, as anything else.
Right.
Yep. We've been talking about the economy here before. Why not? If you can get it here, get it here. You know, you can get a air conditioner made in Mexico, and if it's really important to you that it's made in America, you can get one that's made in America. Mm-hmm. It's going to work just as well. Might be a little bit more expensive.
Now, I was going to say, when it comes to people and, well, where you're at, Monticello, and the smaller places, we often forget about the smaller places. They're probably still more accustomed to your Bud Light, Budweiser, Miller Coors, things like that, because mm-hmm. craft is around, but do they ship often to those smaller liquor stores? I know in Indianapolis, we've got a ton of stuff. You go to Evansville, you got a ton of stuff. You know, you're just used to it. It's there. But a smaller liquor store in a smaller area has to get what people majority want to have. And so trying to get them a variety of stuff is probably difficult. So something like you probably, you know, it takes some getting used to, I guess.
When I was at the Scoreboard, which is the family restaurant that we've since added onto the brewery, helping out there and ordering beer there, I could not get a world-class rep, the kind of craft segment of Monarch. I could not get reps up from really anybody. They'd just be like, here's our thing online, look at it, tell us what you want.
Right.
A lot of it's not available. I keep telling them, like, I know everybody that you're working with, hook me up here, I'm trying to get something rolling. As soon as I said I had 20 taps, I get all the attention I want. And so unfortunately, you get those liquor stores, there's two liquor stores in Monticello,
right,
and then the Kroger. They do There's not
always
have...
always more liquor stores than grocery stores in small towns.
That's true. Well, how many Kroger's
I was going to say.
There's always... But I mean, like...
I would count up the amount of liquor stores we have here compared to the amount of grocery stores, and I'm pretty sure
I mean,
there's
probably more, too, but it is... It just, Your argument it's always is more noticeable in small towns because it's smaller numbers, so you can see, like, two or three. There's a small town down near Evansville that I've been to, and there were no grocery stores in town. There was a liquor store.
Sure,
there was a liquor store. You had to like drive 30 minutes to go to Walmart way outside of town, but they had their liquor store right there on
the beach. Of course, gotta have it. You know, these small towns, they don't have the representation that I was hoping to get when I was a Scoreboard. So you don't have, for instance, Monarch. I do a ton of business with Monarch, love them. They're the Miller Coors distributor. I would call in, I'd be like, I want, you know, since we got it, Flat 12 is represented through them. I want Flat 12. And they're like, okay, well, you know, how much Coors Light do you want? I want none.
Right.
And so when these small liquor stores in these small towns, they're asking for beer, they're asking for catalogs, they're just like, we carry Miller in 8 different package sizes, and we carry Coors in 9 different package sizes.
Right.
Just let us know what you want. So they, unfortunately, they don't have the wherewithal to ask for specific things. Having come from the industry, I'm very demanding. I want this. I want that. I've got the business model to make it work. And now, Now I'm getting some returns.
Let me ask you one thing on that, because, and I'm not going to throw out names because if I'm wrong, I don't want to be that guy, but I've seen on social media that other people who deal with distributors like that, where it's like, okay, we can sell this to you, but you got to take this amount of Coors Light or Miller Light or what is it? Do you run into that?
I used to a little bit, again, kind of without keeping distributors' names out of it. I used to, but then that was when I had five taps and we did carry a lot of macro beer at the old restaurant. Then I said, this is what I'm carrying. I'm carrying nothing but Indiana beer. So absolutely not am I going to buy any of that macro stuff. It doesn't follow with my business plan. And if you are unwilling to sell me this other stuff,
yeah,
you only carry a small pocket. All these distributors, some of them are much bigger and carry a big portfolio. Some of them don't really carry anything. I want to have those beers on tap. But you're either going to give me what I want or not at all. And they've since backed off because there's
okay,
no way. Let me give you, you know, Coors Light coasters or a big Coors Light poster. Just as an example, naming a brand, not in particular, but I'm like, yeah. But for what? I don't have it. I'll pay the premium dollar for the premium beer. I know it stays in the state. I know the person making it. They specifically tagged this keg for me. You know, we're gonna make this one work. And if Coors Light is the issue, then we're not gonna do it. It's like $18 a case.
Right.
Versus like $200 a half barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I'll give you the $200. I don't want to give you $218.
I know. I've never understood. I mean, I get it. That's what they're charged with, you know, making sure they make Miller Coors happy. And having these other brands kind of puts them at odds with Miller Coors just a little bit. So they have to, you know, try to upsell everything. But I don't know. It's an interesting, like, I don't know. Again, we're revisiting the Indiana laws this summer. So we'll see what comes of it.
Nothing will come of it, just like every summer.
Everybody always focuses on the cold beer and the Sunday sales.
Yeah.
They don't really completely understand how much more there really is when it comes to promotions, when it comes to how you can purchase your beer if you're an establishment. I mean,
the three-tier system, like, people just don't understand that whatsoever.
Working at Q95, you know, the beer companies can't directly come to us and have us promote, or they can't promote their products themselves. They go through Monarch that then comes to us, or at Q95 when I was there, and then we promote their products by hosting an event that they could have easily hosted on their own, but they can't do it because it's not allowed. I don't know. There's so much weird. Just
be right back.
You're going to watch him walk by. Oh, he ducked.
Yes, he did.
He ducked. Well, I had a question for him, but he's gone.
He gone.
So I guess we can cut this? No?
No.
I was going to say,
have we ever cut one of these?
I
was going
to
say,
I said that, and then I was like, Brad's not going to cut this. He's not even going to listen to it. Yeah.
That's work. I don't do that stuff. So instead, people have to listen to the two of us wax philosophic.
We can just talk crap about Dustin since he's not here.
I know. This is like a great change for you, isn't it? We get to talk shit about Dustin.
It's weird to have him. And because the first time was Next Top Model, which that show ain't going up. That show was bananas anyways.
It'll go up. I just have to have time to do it. Will it go up
next year? Yeah. We'll play it as like
the precursor to.
Yeah, figure out what's going on. I mean, that show was bananas. It was our first live show. And then, of course, our second live show was him getting wasted at Evil Check.
I know, and I'm so pissed I missed all of this because I was supposed to go with that and I didn't get a chance to.
Oh, man.
You were the fastest pisser in the entire world, dude.
Yeah, I was just thinking
that. Did you just piss in the hallway and then come back?
I found a door over there.
Yeah. There's a door on the left.
It's a 2-hour drive. I got the big monster. Mistake number one.
So, you know, a guy at work.
52-ounce cup.
So, like, Monster and Red Bull and Rockstar, like, I used to drink those a lot, but for whatever reason, they just mess with my stomach. So, a guy at work.
They mess with a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, too. But it was just like, yeah, but it was just like I drink it, and then I just wouldn't feel well. So, I stopped drinking those.
Your heart starts acting like it's on cocaine. You know, it's.
So, a guy at work drinks Kickstarter. Or Kickstart, whatever it's called.
Dew,
it's
the Mountain Dew
Kickstarter. Yeah. And he brought one. He was like, you want to try it? And I'm like, oh my God, this is like the greatest thing ever. And so now that's all I drink.
It's like Mountain Dew on steroids. And that's exactly what it is,
And I've been drinking like two a day this week. And I felt it at about 3:30. My heart was racing. I didn't feel right. I'm like, all right, I got to drink a bunch of water or else this show is going to be just me super hyper, out of control. I can't handle
that. That would have been a fun show.
I don't know.
Yeah, you should plan on that one, Tom.
Yeah, maybe.
Because you're always just very...
pound Kickstarters.
You're always very mellow, you know? You did a great job today. No, I did a great job.
No, you know, the thing is, and people have told me, like, it's a nice balance because Dustin is sometimes crazy and off the wall,
right,
and we love it. And then I'm kind of the guy who, like, keeps the show on the rails. And it's like, well, someone's got to do it.
And then what do they say about me?
Nobody
mentioned. And
then
that dude just kind of chimes in.
He's got
in.
The face for the guy in the background. Yeah. That's what they say.
There's
the guy chimes in, and it's a pain in the ass because we don't want to hear him talk because he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
When they can't read lips if they're just watching it.
And he's been on all three versions of the show, so get him the hell off. He's the one guy we don't want.
Yeah.
Three versions.
There must be something there. There must be a reason why the show continually goes off rails and somewhat fails. It's got to be Brad. Oh. common denominator. No.
I don't know. This is episode 9, right?
Episode 9. I think they were up to like 20-something. We just started over, and I kind of didn't think about that when we started over. Like, we're on episode 9, and then people are going to go back through and be like, well, now there's two episode 9s.
Here's the funny thing.
I'm so confused. I'm like, you know what? We're going to hit like 50, and then no one's even going to realize that there were like 20-something episodes.
But what I'm saying is there was about maybe 10 to 12 episodes of
each
Adam and Drew.
Yep.
And then there was another 8 to 9 episodes of Sarah.
There were...
Oh, so that's the three versions.
Yep. And now we're up to 9, so this thing should be coming off the rails anytime now.
Well, it wasn't long after I was on the second version.
You've been on all three versions, haven't you?
I didn't know about the first. I wasn't on with Drew.
Okay. Was Adam there with Sarah?
I was here with Adam and Sarah, yeah.
Drew, I don't know. It's kind of a weird transition. I'm talking about there was a point where we had Adam and Drew and then Adam and Sarah, and then Sarah by herself. So to me, Sarah by herself is version 2.
Oh, gotcha.
Adam and Drew and Adam and Sarah. Adam was still part of it. So to me, that was kind of version 1. And now... we have two completely new fucks, and I'm the only common denominator to the entire thing. And everybody's so sick of me talking in this episode because they're like, Dustin's not here, so that dude behind the camera that you can't even see.
Yeah, he's just the one talking.
Yeah.
But I just wish you'd wear clothes when you were on. I know you're not on camera. I wish you'd wear clothes.
I'll put it this way. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback, nothing negative outside of your show is too long, which I will say you have 2 weeks to listen to this show. You can't find an hour and a half in 2 weeks.
Which is funny because
then let's sit down and have a beer.
We could have probably wrapped up the show at about an hour.
We could, but
and now a half hour later, we've gone through crap nobody cares about, like journalism and
right. But they're going to
sports and video games.
They're going to continue to listen and be like, "When's the good stuff coming? When's it?" You know, we've just trained
them.
It's
not.
You know, I think our first show was an hour, and then since then it's been an hour and a half to 2 hours every time. Which, I mean, that's just what I love. We got 2 weeks. We got a lot of news.
Well, if you drive up to Monticello.
Yeah.
You're from Indy. You're going to drive to Monticello. You're going to hit up the Copacetic Beer Factory. Just throw on an IoT podcast. It'll get you to the door.
Exactly. My wife's uncle who listens to the show, and it's funny because it's always weird to me when people I know listen to the show, like people that I have to interact with, because I cuss and stuff like that, things I don't do around these people. So it's a completely different side of me. First thing he said was, I didn't realize Matt talked so much. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, that's fair. I don't talk a lot in the family, like dinners and stuff. That's fair. But he was stuck in an airport, and he said he listened to our show, and it made him realize how long he was stuck at the airport. And my wife told
crap,
me this.
Show's
like,
over. I've been here for 2 hours now.
Yeah, basically. And I was like, oh, that like that's funny and that sucks all at the same time.
Most podcast apps have a feature that I love using, which is 1.5 or 2 times the speed.
Yep.
So I typically listen to everything at 1.5. 2 times to me is just a little too much. I know people who go further than that.
Does it sound like an auctioneer?
Not really. I mean, it speeds everything up. I mean, for the most part, especially when you get used to it, it's fine. But when I go back down to 1 time the speed, you know, the normal speed, I'm like, oh my God, these guys all sound like they're slow. Like they're mentally slow because they're just talking like, at least in your head, you know, you're so used to it speeding through. But yeah.
Should people should do that. Then it would only be what 70 or you know not 75 it would only be
like 45 minutes
like yeah but well maybe 75 yeah. minutes you're right
so there you go if you think the show is too long try it at 1.5 speed
75 and minutes then, or and then we'll two times what the speed
goes, yeah
half hour you're yeah. done
maybe
yeah.
a little work
45 minutes like you said yeah
yeah
math.
But
one thing I like is we've gotten three I know it's only three but we got three iTunes reviews. That's pretty good. Hey, that's more than what the other people got.
Nice.
So, because there was none on there before, we've gotten three, and we've only been doing it for eight episodes until now. So that's pretty solid. I like that. So keep throwing those out there, because then that helps us get on iTunes like charts and things. That'd be nice.
So I will still count this as version three, even though from here moving forward, it's the Matt and Sean show.
Yeah.
And it may not be this Sean. It may be Sean Webster.
Yeah. I'll just interchange them every couple weeks. It'll just, yeah.
It's incredible. Having worked at Flat 12, there was four of us. And now one of the first guys I hired at the factory, his name is Sean.
Nice.
So many Seans. Well, I think that's going to do it. You got anything, Copacetic Beer Factory? Are you going to be anywhere? Any events? Anything big to announce?
Well, I think since we talked last, which was Hot Model. I don't know if that show made it on, but...
Nope, not yet.
Next year. Got the permit, got 10 batches in on the pilot, the IPA and the amber. They're quickly turning into kind of regular beers. I'll have my beer on tap up in Monticello June 16th. Got some collabs lined out with Grand Junction. Got collabs kind of in the process with Burnham, kind of guys all over the state. Flat 12 and Black Acre. We're talking about doing an event up in Monticello. I think it's got to be one of the biggest selections of Indiana products in the entire state.
Well, you're
spirits,
kinda like
wine, mead, beer. I got it all. If it's one of the biggest in the state, let's just say it's the biggest in the state. You're not going to find a bigger selection in Illinois, let's say. So that means it's the biggest Indiana selection in the world. It's a great environment. This is cool and fun. I'm always in there. Come talk to me.
But do you always play Local H in there?
You know, I had some guy talk to me about the Local H song, and I put it on the regular occurring playlist. Oh,
there you go.
But it's all Indiana. I use, to the best of my ability, Indiana ingredients. I got a lot of Indiana artists that I keep on this playlist. Jonzo West, Davey Allen, some of my favorites I put on
Local
there.
H can kind of be drafted in. It's Chicago, but it's close enough, right?
It's close enough. It throws it in there, you know?
I was going to say, you can just put a
I throw closing time in at the end. I'm one of those guys that do closing time.
You can just put Mellencamp on and you're good to go.
And drive everybody away?
That's, yeah. Great. Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's fantastic.
That's what I meant by closing time song is my Mellencamp.
Well, we know it's time to go. So we should throw in a Mellencamp song right here as closing time?
Yes, and then you can pay the fine.
All right, you should throw on a Davey Allen song.
Yeah.
It's covered.
That'll work. So you can find Sean at Copacetic Beer on Twitter, right?
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's at Copacetic Beer, and my website's copaceticbeer.com.
And that's Copacetic with a K.
With a K.
With a K. And then you can find us. We are IOT On Air. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all the same handle. Make sure you buy the Taste Society membership using podcast. Make sure you buy our shirt, our bro tank. I want to see, I won't be at Jockey Box Hero because I'll be lounging out in San Diego. But I want to see photos of people in that shirt or that bro tank at that event. So let's make it happen. Buy those shirts. With that, we will see you guys in a couple weeks.